This is an oral not fic. Fandom is Star Wars Rebels. Pairing is Alexander Callis, Zeb. So the basic idea is one of those soulmate pairings where when you meet your soulmate, you have to stay near them. Like, there's a tether between you and you can't go more than 10 or 15 feet from each other. And I know they originally kind of cross paths in the opening movie, episode one, that thing, but the first thing they actually say to each other is later on in the episode with the, oh, what are those weapons called? Disruptors? With the weapon steel. So I'm going to say, since this is my universe and I can do what I want, that they have to, like, both look into each other's eyes and maybe talk or maybe touch each other. I can't remember if they touch in the first episode. But it's one of those things where, you know, sometime in your first major interaction, the Force will make the connection snap into place. So, Zeb and Callis are literally in the middle of a fight, and Ezra is figuring out how the Force works, and all of a sudden, both of them realize they feel this tug, and they're both, like, grappling at this moment, so it's not something obvious. But then I think, like, somebody's about to attack Zeb, and Ezra does his whole force push thing, and Zeb's about to turn around and go, like, hey, thanks for the help, let's get out of here, and he realizes that he can't leave. And Callis, who should have gotten, like, I can't remember how the episode actually goes, but let's pretend that it is Callis who was supposed to get yeeted across the field, and instead, Callis only went 10 feet and then was suddenly in terrible, terrible pain and fell directly downwards, like his momentum was suddenly at zero and, like, he hit a brick wall and then dropped. So he's in a lot of pain, and Zeb realizes that he can't take a step forward. And everybody's like, Zeb, come on! And Kanan is the first one to clue in, because Zeb has some idea of what is happening, but also is probably in major denial. So Kanan grabs Ezra, shoves him towards Hera and the ghost, and says, like, get out of here, I'll help Zeb. And he rushes over to Zeb, and a bunch of stormtroopers are coming at them because they'd called for backup, maybe, or they had get brushed aside when then an earlier explosion, and they're coming back, and, you know, chaos of battle. And Zeb makes a choice. He knows that they are outnumbered. There's no way that they can get Callis onto the ghost and have him be their prisoner and manage to escape. Because if they did take him prisoner, then everything will blow up. The Empire will not stop hunting them, even more than they already are. And on top of that, Callis, they don't have the facility that they would need to keep Callis as a prisoner properly. He would get free from wherever they managed to lock him up. He would get free pretty quickly and cause all the chaos he could. So Zeb, and by this point, Callis is getting up. He is in pain, but he's still able to fight. And Zeb shoves on Kanan, tells him, like, get to the ghost, I will deal with this. And I think Kanan slips him a radio, a transponder, a comm, something like that. And this is like, we'll come get you. We won't leave you behind. All of that. And then Zeb has to watch Kanan run back to the ghost and the ghost take off. And all he can do is kind of toss his bow rifle aside, get down on his knees, and put his hands behind his head. He has chosen in this moment to surrender because he knows otherwise he's going to die. And this whole thing, the link that they have suddenly established, it never lasts for more than, say, a week, more than 10 days. So in that moment, Zeb is betting to himself, all I need to do is last 10 days. All I need to do is survive. And he hasn't been a slave in the way the Wookiees have been, but he's been under the Empire's thumb for long enough that he's confident he can survive that long. So Kallus clues in pretty quickly as well. He manages to, like, when Zeb surrenders, he's plotting. He's already, like, planning out everything he can. He takes Zeb, he cuffs Zeb, and he puts Zeb on a certain transport. And he chooses the transport carefully because he's already figured out certain things. Like, he knows if he goes back to the Empire with a rebel soulmate, the Empire will never trust him again. The only possible way that he could get out of this is if, one, nobody finds out, which is still unlikely, but chances are none of the stormtroopers have clued in yet. Nobody has actually said the word soulmates, so there's still a chance there. Or two, he outright kills Zeb in front of an audience and makes a show of it. Now, Kallus is very much an Imperial at this point, and he has killed people, he has tortured people, he has done what he has to do for the cause, but he's also got enough of a code of honor that he's not gonna kill an unarmed prisoner who has surrendered, who... And Zeb, there are feelings there, even if it's only because he's a Lasat. But now that they're soulmates, he can't kill Zeb in cold blood. He could kill him in a fight. If they were put up into a duel and he managed to get in a killing blow, he wouldn't be all that upset about it. But killing his own soulmate in cold blood because of an order doesn't sit right with him. So he's already planning. And when he chooses to, like, he cuffs Zeb because that's what everybody expects of him. But after that, he's, like, turning to the stormtroopers and going, like, okay, I have taken this prisoner. I'm going to escort him back myself because I'm the highest ranking officer here. And he orders the stormtroopers to load everything up, and he orders more stormtroopers to, like, here, clean up this area and document it all and gather evidence and all of that. And so the vehicle that he and Zeb end up in is a speeder, like, it's a four-seater, but it's one of those. And so he orders one of the stormtroopers to, like, you will pilot this, and I'm going to put Zeb in the back seat and I'm going to cuff him in place so that he can't escape. I mean, granted, this is... Zeb actually could escape pretty easily, but the fact that he surrendered and the fact that he cannot go anywhere without Kallus means he's not going anywhere. Zeb is, in his mind, not preparing for escape for once, because he would have to bring Kallus with him, and he's already checked that off his list. He can't do it. So he's settling in. He's preparing himself for torture mentally. And Kallus is in the passenger seat, and he's got his blaster, and he's kind of leaning over backwards to keep his eyes and his blaster on Zeb, supposedly. Because they get about... Okay, I have no idea how far they are from the capital, but say that they're like 3 hours. 3 hours from the capital. They get an hour out, they are in the middle of nowhere, and Kallus turns to the driver and says, "Hey, slow down, he probably says something like, "Hey, I gotta take a piss, slow down by that rock." And the stormtrooper starts to slow down and starts, and they like turn towards this big rock, and then Kallus turns towards them, says, and doesn't even say anything, doesn't say I'm sorry, doesn't say anything, just turns to the stormtrooper, puts the muzzle in the gap between the helmet and his chest plate, pulls the trigger, and he's dead. Or maybe he's just stunned. He's probably dead. He's a stormtrooper. He doesn't matter. Stormtroopers matter, but not this one. So, at this point, Zeb kind of comes back to himself, and he's watching Kallus going like, okay, what's going on? I need to reevaluate everything. Kallus takes the keys off the stormtrooper's belt, tosses them to Zeb, says, uncuff yourself. Zeb knows exactly where both of their bow rifles are, so he does, and he grabs his own bow rifle, and he gets out of the car, and he's very much like, okay, are we gonna fight now? Because I can't run away, but I can't, like, I can't come at you, like, I'm not gonna kill you, because this is Zeb. But he can't, so he's like, okay, what are you thinking? What is this weird Imperial who I absolutely hate and am suddenly soul bonded to? What is this guy thinking? Kallus makes sure he has his own bow rifle, then does some things with the speeder. He probably, disables the tracker and then sets it into, some autopilot, or, you know, puts a brick on the gas pedal, points it in a random direction, and, like, sends it out. Oh, before he does, though, he does grab, like, his kit. There's always an emergency kit in the speeders. So he grabs the emergency kit out of the speeder and then sends it off. And they both stand there for, you know, a good 3 to 5 minutes just watching this speeder with a potentially dead stormtrooper drive towards nowhere. And Zeb is still very much like, I am so confused. Are we gonna fight or not? And Kallus, like, opens up the emergency kit, does a quick evaluation, grabs the transponder, throws it on the ground, steps on it. Like, we have no radio, because radios can be tracked. We have no emergency beacon, but we have some emergency supplies. And Kallus turns around and goes like, okay, we're gonna need water. And pulls out, maybe there's something in the med kit, or the emergency kit, that will help them find water. Or maybe he's just like, When I looked at the maps of this area, there were several small streams in this direction, so he starts walking. And he gets about there 10 feet. He gets to the end of his tether, and then he stops because he can't go any further. Because, of course, Zeb has not moved. So Callus turns back around and puts his hands on his hips and is like, "What? Do you not like drinking? Do you, I don't see any, like, water, like, you don't appear to be carrying any water jugs?" And Zeb just, like, crosses his arms and goes like, "No, you are talking to me right now. You are telling me the plan, because obviously you have one. I'm not going to follow you unless I know what is going on." So Callus rolls his eyes and is like, "We have to spend the next 7 to 10 days together. I can't go back to the Empire. I'm not letting you go back to the rebels. We're stuck together. It's better to be stuck together in the middle of nowhere, because then nobody will find us. Nobody will find out. And then we can both go back to our regular lives, hating each other." And Zeb is like, "So your plan is to camp for the next 10 days? And Callus is like, "Yes, my plan is to find a place to hunker down for the next 7 to 10 days. And the minute that we're all done, I will walk the however far it is back to the capital. Because... And then I'll tell them that you managed to escape on the way back and that I was stuck in the middle of nowhere, or you kidnapped me, or something." And at this point, Zeb does not have a better plan. And also, this is a lot better than what he was expecting. So he kind of decides to go with it, even though he's not going to give Callus, like, the benefit of the doubt, and he's not going to agree with him outright. So he just, like, scratches his chin for a minute, shrugs, slings his bow rifle over his shoulder, and says, like, "We could have used the car. We should have kept the speeder." And then Callus is like, "They could have tracked it, yada, yada, yada. It's too visible." And Zeb is like, "Also, you're going the wrong way." And Callus is like, "You run around on a spaceship. How would you know?" And Zeb is like, "I can smell it." And Callus is like, "Smelling water, right, like that's a thing." And they argue all the way to the stream, which takes them about an hour to find. And by the time they get there, like, neither of them were right. They just stumble upon it. It's not like either of them actually knew where the stream was. Cue a series of "We are stuck together" hijinks. And what's that trope? Canadian cabin? Good enough. They have to survive together. And we get a little bit, I know we got a little bit of that from the Ice Moon episode, but that was only, like, maximum of 12 hours. This is a solid week. So we get to see them hunting for food and catching and failing to catch said food. We get to see them, you know, drinking water and filtering the water and trying to bathe and being really pissy around each other for the first several days. We get to see them trying to light a fire and, like, arguing over the best way to light said fire and how much smoke the fire is going to cause. The first night, they definitely settle, like, "Okay, I'm going to sleep over here. You are going to sleep over there. Neither of us is comfortable, but we will deal with it. And we have to put out the fire beforehand, since neither of us is going to stay up to make sure it doesn't burn the whole place down. So we are both going to be cold and miserable. And some point during the night, one or both of them rolls over and somehow they end up spooned together so that they are curled up in each other's arms when they wake up. They both deny this happening until it happens the next night. After night 4 or 5, they kind of stop trying to deny it because it's a lot more comfortable to sleep beside somebody. After day 4 or 5, they get into a pattern of like, okay, this person, this is the situation that I'm in, and I may hate this person on principle, but I need them to survive. And by that point, they're both very aware of where the tether ends, so they stop, like, running headfirst into a brick wall. By the end of their couple of weeks in isolation out there, they have gotten close. It's not like sex pollen or whatever forcing them to fuck, but the longer they are together, the more each of them notices the other. And there are times like, oh, look, Callus has gone down to the river to clean up, and he's used the water to slick back his hair, and he's got all those nice muscles out on display because he left his shirt on the bank. And maybe he is still wearing his boxers, but they're clinging very tight to his skin because of the water. And then he comes back out onto shore and he's all glistening with water and shivering a little bit. And Zeb just has this urge to go over and like wrap him up, keep him warm, and lick the water off his skin. And then later in the evening, when they've both settled down and they're like, yeah, we're gonna curl up and we're gonna be back to back because we don't like each other. But of course, the minute one of them falls asleep, they turn over and wrap the other in their arms, which of course Zeb does first. So Zeb falls asleep, rolls over, wraps his arms around Callus, and Callus is like, this is nice. I actually really like this. Snuggle. Snuggle, snuggle, snuggle. So by the end of their, like, they get to the end of the 10 days. They get to the end of what they expect the limit to be. And they're both looking at each other. They're both very, very aware of each other. And both of them have, like, gone around the rock and jerked off thinking about the other, but there's no way that they can actually tell the other, even though the other is right there and can probably hear them. And both of them figure, you know, once the bond breaks, it'll be done. We will both go our separate ways, and I won't have to think about him again. He won't be in my life. I won't have to talk about it. I won't have to trace the stripes in his fur. I won't have to count his freckles every day or every morning or whatever. But the bond doesn't break. And it's like, we're now on day 11. Why hasn't this bond broken? And one of them makes a move. One of them decides, this is enough torture. I'm just going to kiss him. And because any second now, the bond could break. And this is my only chance. And we haven't talked about it, but this is what I really want. Even if it's only physical, even if he doesn't think the same thing about me, I'm going to have this for once in my life. And so one of them kisses the other, and soon enough, they are ripping each other's clothes off and rolling around in the grass and having a very good time. And the next morning, when they wake up, the bond is gone. And they can both feel it, but they are still, like, curled up with each other, and neither of them wants to leave, even though they know they should. And eventually one of them has to get up, and they have to, you know, have the conversation of, I guess I have to go back to the Empire, and I should probably call my friends. And they split up, and neither of them talk about it because they're both idiots, and they're both pining, but neither of them say anything because they're both idiots. And this is the part where you're screaming at the screen going, what are you two thinking? Just say the words, I love you, and you can work this out. But no, that would be too easy. So Kallus goes back to the Empire. Zeb goes back to the Rebels. Zeb, at one point, becomes very melancholy. Hera pulls him aside, and they have a conversation, because they are two of the oldest friends on the ship, and so she pulls him aside and goes, like, look, if you need to get drunk for this conversation, that's okay, but I'm going to sit with you until you tell me what's wrong. And so there's this outpouring of emotion from Zeb, and how, like, we've seen him 2 times in passing, and each time he's got this crease between his eyes, and he looks miserable, and I can't help remembering what his skin tastes like, and what it's like to hold him at night, and why on earth is the Force this mean to put both of us through this? But otherwise, Zeb just gets on with his life. He keeps an eye out for Kallus. Every time they fight, he's pulling his punches a little bit, and he's watching him, and he's going, like, trying to read every single move that Kallus is making. But he's not sure what else he can do. Over on Kallus's side of things, Kallus is miserable. He's a little bit more miserable than Zeb, but only because he doesn't have a shoulder to cry on. I don't think he calls in the Inquisitor or whoever it is quite as quickly. Like, he still does his duty. He's not as eager to catch the Rebels as before, because every time the Rebels show up and every time he's faced with Zeb, he has to look into those green eyes, and, like, there's this pit in his stomach, and he wants to just, like, wrap Zeb in his arms and go, are you okay? But he can't. So he's a little bit distracted when it comes to them. There are other Rebel cells that he goes after, but, and he even considers, like, getting himself transferred, but that would be a red flag because he would have left without finishing his mission, so he can't really do that. And, like, when Ezra sneaks in and pretends to be a cadet, he sees Ezra and is like, I'm not going to throw up the alert just yet. Somebody else can do that. It's not my, it is my job, but it's not, but I've had a long day, so somebody else can deal with it. And he makes a lot of excuses like that. And so by the time the Ice Moon episode comes around, they are in the escape pod. They get tossed onto the Ice Moon. And Zeb is just like, you hurt your leg! I'm so sorry! Here, let me bandage that for you. Are you okay? Have you been eating enough? You're too thin. You're not fighting like you used to. And Callus rolls his eyes like, you're one to talk. You've been pulling your punches. And like, well, yes, of course I've been pulling my punches because you're practically skin and bones. It wouldn't be fair. And of course, by the end of the Ice Moon episode, Callus has to come back with him and things. I guess if somebody actually writes this, they can come up with a better ending. But at this point, that's all my brain can provide.